Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. Forest stewardship is the topic of discussion in northeastern Alberta this week. Alberta Pacific Forest Industries is undergoing the first FSC audit to be held in this province. It's also a test of the new boreal standard developed by the Forest Stewardship Council. And from the recent conference, One Forest Under Two Flags, ALPAC also gets top marks for its innovations on the transportation front. From trucks to trains, there's more than one way to get logs to the mill. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. Something new is happening in Alberta this week, and that's an FSC audit. FSC is the Forest Stewardship Council, a group formed in the early 1990s to press for better environmental and social stewardship of the world's forest resources. In fact, you can purchase FSC-certified products at stores like Home Depot, but those products come from outside the province. Several years ago, Alberta Pacific Forest Industries, a pulp company based in northeastern Alberta, decided to pursue FSC certification. But a lot of things had to take place before that could happen, including the development of an FSC standard for the boreal forest. This week, I had the opportunity to travel to ALPAC's pulp mill near Athabasca to join in the first day of the audit. Then in the evening, our group headed out to an open house in Lac La Biche. Brent Rabick is the Director of Strategic Projects with ALPAC.
In the forest products business these days, there is an ever-growing need, largely through pressures in our marketplace, to have companies' forest management practice independently third-party verified as to meeting certain standards. And those standards look at a number of issues around environmental performance, relationships with communities, with your workers, with indigenous people. And these are standards are being developed to give assurances to the marketplace, to customers, to the people of Alberta, in a sense, that own the land base that we operate on, that we're being good stewards of the forest resources. Currently in Canada, there's three standards that are being used on the land base. The Canadian Standards Association has a sustainable forest management standard. The American standard called Sustainable Forestry Initiative, and then the one that we're pursuing, which is called the Forest Stewardship Council, or FSC. We've chosen FSC because we think it more closely aligns with sort of our operating philosophy and how we have developed our environmental and Aboriginal programs. FSC is an international standard and has a little more knowledge or acceptance or awareness in the marketplace, and we think that'll help us as we endeavor to ensure our customers and our marketplaces that we are being good stewards or managing the forest as best as we can.
FSC is relatively new in Canada. Where is most of your product going that this would be of any concern?
FSC's been in existence since, I believe, 1993, so it's been around longer than the other standard systems, but not that well known in Canada since it was really developed in response to tropical timber harvesting in South America, largely. Our product goes to Europe, to North America, largely into the States and into Asia. Marketplace-wise, Europe is probably the most aware and is the most demanding for FSC-certified products. The U.S. is picking up in that regard, it's still moderate, and now there's starting to be more activity in Asia. So it varies by the region. But in our case, we're trying to make sure that we're well-positioned as these markets grow to accept certification and FSC more often. So it's a strategic move for us to make sure that we're sort of ahead of our competitors and that we're able to get certified and promote that in the marketplace.
Going for this certification is not something that you take lightly or that you enter into overnight, because it's actually been 4 years setting this up from the time ALPAC first decided that it would pursue this and where you are today. Why is it so strenuous? Why has it taken so long?
The way FSC works is that there's an international set of principles and criteria that are developed, and then those principles and criteria are used at regional level, in our case, the Canadian Boreal Forest, to develop a regional standard. So we've made the decision that we thought about 4 years ago that FSC was probably the most closely aligned standard and the best in our case to seek. However, we needed to wait a while. The FSC structure needed to be developed more so in Canada, and then it needed to develop a regional standard. That standard process took 2 years and was completed in August of this year, where the standard was formally ratified. So anybody in the boreal forest of Canada that wants to get certified to FSC now has to use the boreal standard. So our time in getting this was really largely sort of waiting and inputting into the standards development process to make sure that there was a credible standard that we could be certified against.
Well, why do you even have to set up a separate standard like a boreal standard? Isn't it something that you can just use across the board?
Certain standards operate that way. FSC is a sort of a different model that says you take the overriding principles and criteria that are principles are things like respect for Indigenous rights, our respect for workers, forest management planning, environment, those things. So, and then from there, there's a number of criteria that are still at a fairly broad level. The expectation from FSC then is that you will take those principles and criteria and make them applicable at the local level. The key component of FSC is its inclusion in sort of that process. So FSC Canada had to demonstrate that everybody that was interested was consulted, basically, that you had a broad consultation process to input into that boreal standard. And in Canada's case, there was something like over 2,000 responses or comments from people that were sent in to the standard. There was, I believe, three or four drafts of the standard, all that were communicated. There was public meetings. There was a series of consultative processes that led to that boreal standard. So it's intended to be a very inclusive process that builds support for the standards development and therefore for the certification process, different than how some of the other standards do it that have a standard that you can use through any forest region in Canada. FSC believes that you need to have regional standards to more accurately reflect the values that are in those regions.
You were involved very closely in the development of this boreal standard. What are some of the challenges that faces Alberta, for example?
Challenges in Alberta, we have, I think, because we operate on a public land base, that means that there's other players. So in other jurisdictions where there's less activity, it becomes easier. So we have issues largely around overlapping tenure or cumulative effects. So how do the activities of other players, other forest operators, and the oil and gas sector affect our operations or affect the viability of forest management on this land base? That's probably the biggest issue we have to work with, and that's sort of a new issue for FSC. They're used to certifying largely private forests. They don't have the level of activity that we do in Alberta on our public forests. So we're going to test that with the standard and being relatively new, and that was considered. But it takes a site-specific audit to see how that'll play out. We think that we have enough evidence and that things happen pretty good in Alberta. The Integrated Landscape Management Program of the Alberta Chamber of Resources is a good example whereby energy and forestry are working together to reduce the industrial footprint. And it shows cooperation and it shows how industry is working to do best management practices on the land base. And we think that'll be reflected well and through the audit.
Are other people in the industry watching you?
We think so. There's, as you say, this is the first audit, FSC audit in the province. There's a lot of interest, and there's a lot of sort of misunderstanding of FSC because it does have a very strong environmental focus as to what is expected. And so we expect to have a few companies come out as well and observe parts of the audit. And we've been communicating a few. But there are a lot of other companies here hearing it in their markets as well, so there's a sensitivity about it. And hopefully we'll have some more people out here and understand better what it's trying to do. We think it is a good process and will be beneficial to our company.
Thank you very much, Brent.
Thank you.
That was Brent Rabick, Director of Strategic Projects with Alberta Pacific Forest Industries. When the Forest Stewardship Council entertains an application for certification, it contracts others to do the audits for it. Smartwood is one of a handful of companies that conducts the assessments for FSC. The group poking through the affairs of Alberta Pacific Forest Industries includes an ecologist from Sweden, a social scientist from New Brunswick, an Aboriginal consultant from Manitoba, and two foresters from British Columbia. Keith Moore is the forester heading up the FSC certification audit for Smartwood.
We're assessing Alpac's operations against a standard that's been developed in Canada. That's called the National Boreal Standard for the Boreal Forest. We're looking to see that, in simple terms, Alpac meets that standard. We do that in a couple of ways. We spend a fair bit of time on the ground in the field looking at Alpac's practices, and we spend quite a lot of time in the community, in quotes, including Aboriginal communities, non-Native communities, talking with people. People that use the forest, people that have interests in the forest, people that have their livelihood in the forest. And we'll basically ask them, is Alpac a good corporate citizen? Do they look after your interests?
One of the things that I found interesting is that there's more than just one standard. For instance, the new one that you're dealing with is the boreal forest standard. But there's standards that are set up for different regions, different countries. Why is that, and how do you kind of even them out if you've got different standards that you're trying to look at?
So FSC is a very international organization. I think there's FSC certifications going on in 80 or 90 countries around the world now. Forests are completely different in those countries. The needs of people, the rights, the uses, totally different parts of the world. So what FSC did was adopted a very general set of principles and criteria. There's 10 principles, there's 50 criteria, and those apply, they're universal. So because they're universal, they're quite general. And in order to get down to the specific needs of particular forest types, particular wildlife species, particular communities, there had to be a way to regionalize that, to make it appropriate to regions. So FSC has set up this process where people in regions can get together. They form themselves in a grouping which FSC says is legitimate, and then FSC says, go ahead, develop a regional standard. So in Canada, we have four regional standards. There's one for the Maritimes, one for the boreal forest, one for the Great Lakes St. Lawrence, and one for British Columbia.
How might those differ?
In Canada, they don't differ a whole lot. They reflect maybe differences in forest types to some degree. They reflect to some degree different, makeups of communities and the type of things they're interested in. The boreal standard, for example, gets involved with quite a lot of trappers because trapping is a really important traditional and subsistence, you know, an economic lifestyle and a traditional lifestyle in the boreal forest. It's not that way in the Great Lakes in Lawrence or like that in the Maritimes, so trapping doesn't play that kind of a role in the Maritimes.
You're actually on contract to Smartwood. What is the relationship then between Smartwood and the Forest Stewardship Council?
The Forest Stewardship Council is the organization which has a membership which develops the standards. The members develop and approve the standard. Smartwood is an organization that audits to determine compliance with those standards. So FSC is separated from the audit process. It writes the standards, somebody else's audits against them. And FSC has set up a process for accrediting, what they call accrediting organizations to assess. There's about 11 or 15, there's some large number around the world. There's five working in North America. And Smartwood is one of the organizations that is accredited to FSC to audit against the standard and to award the certificates that come out of it. So the certificate is like a good housekeeping seal of approval on your forest practices. Smartwood awards that. And teams of people work for Smartwood to do the assessments on contract for Smartwood.
How are you actually conducting this assessment?
We started about, years ago, really. The first step is a company that's interested in getting FSC certification picks a certification body. So that's Smartwood. Alpac gets a relationship with Smartwood. Smartwood will come out and do what's called a scoping. That's kind of a superficial scan to see there's no real huge potholes or great big obstacles on this road, because we don't want to mount an expensive assessment until we know that at least the obvious things are addressed. We went through a process of selecting the field sites because we actually select that. It's a random selection process that we run. We don't let Alpac take us to the sites they'd like us to see. We pick our own. We put a team together. We just basically got organized. And now, so here we are today. We're just starting. We'll be here for about 2 weeks, five of us working in variety of places, some people out in the field, some people talking to municipal folks, some people out in the Métis communities and the Big Stone Cree, the First Nations communities, some people talking to logging contractors, people that maybe Alpac donates money to. We'll talk to a whole range of people. And then we'll spend another couple of months writing a report when we're done. And at the end of it, as an assessment team, we will send that report to Smartwood, and Smartwood will decide whether ALPEC gets to be FSC certified or not. Fairly typically, companies don't get certified the first try. There are things called preconditions. There are places where we don't think they meet the standard, and we will put a precondition which says this is something you've got to meet, you've got to get over the bar before you can be certified. Quite normally, there will be conditions, which are things that we think, yeah, you're in good shape, you get a passing grade, you're not where we would like you to be, you're not fully in compliance, but this is good enough for now. And we will write a condition which requires you to continue or to do something or to make some improvements in a fixed period of time, say 1 year or say 2 years. And then after a company is certified, there's an annual audit, and we will be back once a year to do an annual audit.
What sort of credentials do your teams have?
We are independent, I guess. That's maybe one of the most important credentials. We have had no prior working relationships with ALPEC. We are all professionals in our fields. So I'm a geographer and a forester. Others are ecologists or social scientists. We have all been through training as assessors in the FSC system with Smartwood. And most of us have a fair background of years of experience doing what we're doing.
What do you see as some of the challenges in dealing with this particular assessment of ALPEC's practices? I understand that this is the largest area in North America that you've dealt with, and also the land base tenure is so much different here than other parts of the world.
Yeah, just going in and having been through a scoping a few years ago, we expect that the tenure is the most difficult thing for us to, figure out and certify that it conforms to the standard. Basically, the standard would require that ALPEC has full control over the forestry activities on the land. And it's, the tenure system here is such that they really don't. There are oil and gas exploration tenures, which have an impact on wildlife species, on water quality, on many things on the land base. And there are other forest companies operating who also have legal rights to cut trees and carry out their own activities, and those also can have an impact on the land. So our challenge here is to figure out if, in fact, ALPEC does, quote, control activities on the land base to a sufficient extent that we can certify that their management does, in fact, carry out activities on the full, I shouldn't say the full, because we're fairly clear that we are also maybe looking at subsets of the FMA, Forest Management Area, and we could conceivably certify part of it.
Why do you do this? How did you get involved with the FSC certification?
Well, I've been working in BC and other parts of Canada and the world for a long time. Like many foresters, I worked in government for a while. I chaired a forest practices board in BC for a while. And I got tired with regulatory processes, which typically punish those who are at the bottom of the heap, those that are not doing a very good job. We beat on them as a way of improving the process. We don't spend a lot of time working and rewarding those that are the best. And so we don't offer a lot of carrots in regulatory regimes to improve practices. I came out of 5 years chairing the Forest Practices Board in BC wanting to do something really different, and I decided I wanted to work with companies that wanted to be the best. And for me, that was companies who had chosen to, for better or worse, throw their hat into the FSC ring. And so for me, it's a way of working with people who are innovative, who are committed to doing their best, and it's a way of maybe improving the way in which we manage our land, not by punishing those that don't meet standard, but by rewarding those that do.
Thank you very much, Keith.
You're welcome.
That was Keith Moore, a forester from British Columbia and lead assessor from Smartwood, which is conducting the Forest Stewardship Council certification audit for Alberta Pacific Forest Industries. When it comes to trying something new in the forest industry, Alpac is never shy about stepping up to the plate, or perhaps I should say track. Moving logs on train tracks is just one of the ways Alpac gets its wood to the mill. John Ellison looks after fiber enhancement and procurement for Alberta Pacific Forest Industries. And at the recent forestry conference, One Forest Under Two Flags, he spoke about Alpac's innovations in logging transportation. One of the biggest challenges the company faces is the overwhelming size of its forest management area in northeastern Alberta.
Anywhere I've worked before, we've never really had to contend with that size of a forest management area. And also, one of the things that Alpac, the road network is still being developed. So our travel and cycle time distances are going to be challenging further down the road as well. So it's other industries have transportation issues. Ours are simply compounded even that much more or exponentially because of the distance and the size of the FMA and the fact that our pulp mill is really located at the very southern reach of our forest management area.
Well, what would you do then to keep the cost down? Because, you have to sell your product just the same as everybody else.
Innovation. You got to be on the cutting edge. You got to look for all the opportunities and create opportunities. And some of what I spoke about today is some of the things that we've implemented and looked for ways of, if not reducing our costs, certainly controlling our costs and making us be competitive with the rest of the industry.
Well, let's look at some of those things. What is your main method of moving the trucks, and what innovations have you made there?
Well, with the log trucks, almost since day one, we've had central tire inflation in place. We've looked at different tree length configurations and gone back to the Super B configuration simply because of it's a better all-round unit for frozen conditions and summer conditions.
What does the Super B look like?
Well, with the tractor, it's an 8-axle configuration. The lead trailer is a tritium axle, and the pup trailer is a tandem axle. And what it does is allows us the maximum potential gross vehicle weight that's allowed in the province. And that's why it works best for a year-round application, in that we near achieve the gross vehicle weight potential of permitted that's in the winter of 65,000 kilograms, and in the summer it's 63,500 kilograms. So it's we lose very little by operating in the summer conditions.
And central tire inflation, how does that help you?
Well, it helps us with traction. It helps us with road maintenance issues, it actually helps us with some of the maintenance costs associated with the contractors and the wear and tear on their vehicles and tires and so on. So it's environmentally, it helps us with sedimentation and other costs associated with the maintenance. It's a win-win thing with central tire inflation.
You've also moved to hauling the logs by train. How is it set up? Do the trucks have to take the logs from the cut blocks to where they would load on the train? What do you actually do?
That's exactly it. We have presently two and soon to be three satellite yards located essentially between the pulp mill and Fort McMurray over on the east side of the forest management area. And what we do is we forward or deliver the wood from the harvest cut blocks to the satellite yards. Each satellite yard has weigh scales, which are automatically linked back to Alpac so that we can download the information on a daily basis.
Why did you choose that? It seems so old-fashioned.
Well, it's sort of like a lot of people have been quite interested in it, but really it's going back to something old. What we have is a short line railway that was looking for extra revenue and extra business. And quite frankly, moving logs on rail, or I should say putting rail in place just to move logs, likely doesn't make economic sense. But when it can be added on incrementally to existing business, it starts to make sense. And in fact, when you have a short line railway that doesn't have to share the revenues or have to take these, share the costs or the revenues with other companies that, you know, are attached to them. For example, as a short line railway that would have to move on to and to finish the delivery and move on to a CN or a CP, it becomes much more difficult to make it work. But when you can just deal with the short line railway and they're receiving the revenues directly to themselves and not sharing it, they can become a lot more cost competitive and the rates start to work.
Is there an environmental benefit?
Well, certainly. The less trucks on the road. In our particular case, we're projecting annually of about 10,000 loaded trucks are going to be removed off the highways. So that in itself is a plus. Congested highways, so there's an environmental impact. But also we're going to see over the decade of the contract that we have in place with the rail company, our short line partner, we're going to see about a 50,000-ton reduction in CO2s or CO2 equivalents because of the shift to rail.
That's just amazing. How about road maintenance? You had mentioned you were doing some innovations there.
Yeah, one of the things that we've implemented is an OptiGrade system, and it's something that we've partnered with Forest Engineering Research Institute of Canada, FERIC. And what it does is we've actually put accelerometers on 10 of our permanent log haul fleets. And they it's a post-trip application, so as they finish the trip, the log haul trip, they actually download this data that's been accumulated based on the accelerometer readings. And what we end up doing is with the FERIC software, it analyzes the data and gives us a map, essentially, and tells us where the rough portions of the road are so that we can dispatch graders accordingly to where the roads need it.
And then that way they're not necessarily doing recreational grading?
Yeah, absolutely. That's we're spending our money wisely this way. And we're not grinding up aggregate that doesn't need to be moved around.
What else are you doing?
We've done some road stabilization work on our FMA where it's made sense, where it's where we've gone back and used a product called CBR Plus and some of our own ash and used that, rolling it and mixing it back into some of our roads. And what that ends up doing is actually stabilizing the road base. And with our clay and silty soils, and some of the areas are much more suspect to moisture issues as well, it seals the road up, the road base up, and so we're able to shed the water and the road is stabilized.
What does that replace?
Well, it really doesn't replace anything. What it does is gives us almost a concrete effect. It sets and hardens the road base up so that it can't actually permeate, allow the water to permeate in.
Thank you very much, John.
Thank you, Cheryl.
That was John Ellison, Business Unit Leader for Fiber Enhancement and Procurement for Alberta Pacific Forest Industries. He was speaking at the recent forestry conference in Edmonton, One Forest Under Two Flags. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our weekly newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by Alberta Pacific Forest Industries, Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, Science Alberta Foundation, the University of Lethbridge, Alberta Ingenuity, Ducks Unlimited Canada, ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, Alberta Research Council, and the Alberta Conservation Association. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.